Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
If you'd like to call in and get in on any of the conversations or bring up any new topics, that number is going to be 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Nikki,
and Ian.
So tonight, we're going to talk about Michigan now censoring you, well, more than censoring you, putting you in jail for 5 years. For hurting someone's feelings.
That sounds bad.
Sounds like a place that I would probably want to flee. If I live there right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons to flee from places like Michigan. I mean, especially if you are a libertarian activist, you should be here in New Hampshire.
Luckily, that's still legal. One day it might not be legal.
You mean leaving?
Yeah, to leave a state. I mean, it was pretty close.
Yeah, I was about to say, it got pretty close there during COVID.
It really did. It was some scary stuff. At that time, for sure.
Okay, so, want to get right into it?
Sure.
Michigan's Democratic House passed legislation on Tuesday that enables attorneys to shut down hate speech. The new House Bill 4474 is a vague and unconstitutional censorship law that determines feeling threatened as reasonable grounds to prosecute offenders.
Yeah, so what does hate speech even mean? Because normally it's things that are homophobic or anti-Semitic, things like that. But, I mean, hate speech, I mean, it sounds very vague. That could really mean anything. You could say something I don't like and I'm 911,
and the
jail.
The same thing got passed in Florida unanimously. And I think the three of us talked about that. Maybe it's a different show, but... Florida's House and Senate unanimously, all Republicans, all Democrats, voted in a bill that's very, very similar to this one, that if somebody does an act that's already illegal, but hatefully, then 5 years in jail. And, you're right, it's very vague, Nikki. It's kind of like thought crime, like going after thought crime.
Yeah, I always thought that the Republicans were good on this particular issue. You know, and historically, they seem to have understood, and obviously this is not the case now, apparently, because as you said, it was, if not unanimous, nearly unanimous in the state of Florida, this hate speech bill. I always thought the Republicans understood that hate crimes were a bad idea, because essentially you're just punishing someone for a thought. You're punishing someone, oh, okay, well, it's in addition to, right? So like a hate crime isn't just saying something that you don't like or that somebody doesn't like. It's... you're also vandalizing someone or, you know, a building, or you're destroying somebody's property, you're physically attacking a person or whatever, and it's you're saying something at the same time, or with the vandalization, you're leaving a swastika or some other kind of hateful message. The idea that that should make a crime of property destruction worse than otherwise just, you know, painting all over somebody's building, whatever it happens to be, I think is pretty ridiculous. And I always thought the Republicans got this one, but I guess they've now, you know, gone totally politically correct, too.
It's definitely a woke position that DeSantis is, you know, all for, went to Israel to sign and make a big deal out of it, saying, you know, we're going to be, this is the most anti-Semitism bill ever. Well, which is weird because it doesn't only talk about being anti-Semitic. It talks about, like, hate at all, but, you know. But
well,
that,
does
that's
it protect specific groups? Like, for instance, if I were to commit some sort of act, whatever that crime might be, and say, I hate the government, would that also be included in the hate crime legislation? Are they a protected class? Because normally you think about, like, races of people or sexual orientations, genders, but is what you do for a living also something that can be hated and qualify you under this statute.
Sounds extremely unconstitutional. I mean, even if... I mean, this bill that passed is extremely unconstitutional.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's completely against the First Amendment. I mean, that's completely anti-free speech.
This is from the Washington Examiner, I forgot to say. From today. It says, the punishment for making someone, quote, feel threatened in Michigan is 5 years in jail and a $10,000 fine.
For making someone feel threatened?
Yeah, I don't even know how you measure that.
Well, okay, so there is the idea, prior to this bill, I'm sure Michigan already had something about, you know, if you actually threaten someone, that is a crime, right? So, if I recall correctly, that is like the definition in some states of an assault. So, you don't have to actually physically push somebody
or be verbal.
Physically harm somebody. It can be you have threatened that person to the point where they believe that you're going to do the thing that you're going to do. Criminal threatening might be the terminology in some states where you haven't actually committed the act yet. But, you know, if you've said something like, I'm going to kill you or whatever, that and you're like if you're standing in front of somebody and they say, I'm going to kill you, and then they start moving towards you, you know, how long do you have to wait before you can pull a gun and blast that person, right? Do you have to wait until their hands are around your throat?
Yeah, it depends on the state.
Yeah, I can't give any legal advice here, but yeah, I would think that if you believe it, if you are feeling actually threatened, then you have the justification in some places to defend yourself prior to the act.
So, at least in Massachusetts, from what I've heard from certain gun owners, basically, if you're, you know, in a position where you're feeling threatened, you know, someone breaks into your house and you think they're going to kill you,
mm-hmm.
you have to try every possible route of escape. Like, you essentially have to be backed into a corner. They mm-hmm. also need a gun or some weapon. Like, they make it so difficult.
Right.
For you to defend yourself, and that was a reason why I never even wanted to carry a firearm in Massachusetts, because I'm like, if I do use it to defend myself...
You just get into hotter water.
Yeah, I'm just going to go to jail, so what...
That's crazy.
Yeah, so that's one of the states where it's a duty to retreat. Is that right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I'm supposed to jump out a second-story window.
Home.
Yeah, from my own home. Somebody's broken into my home, and they want me to jump out a window or something and possibly, you
or
know,
just
harm
stay
my...
there and get, you know, attacked or
You have a
whatever.
Duty to not harm this person who's broken into your house and is screaming, I'm going to rape you or mm-hmm. kill you
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's
it's
insane.
Ridiculous.
And that is what, you know, it's places like that where people who are sane should not live.
And I assume that Michigan already has laws against just criminal threatening, like typical ones, like you're mm-hmm. saying, but this goes a little bit above and beyond that.
Okay, how's that?
Says the problematic language about feelings can be found in the bill's definition of intimidation as, quote, willful course of conduct involving repeated or continuing harassment of another individual that would cause a reasonable individual to feel terrorized, frightened, intimidated, threatened, harassed, or molested. How do you feel molested? Well, I guess there's different definitions for that, but...
Yeah, molestation is a physical act.
That's what I thought. And that actually causes the victim to feel terrorized, frightened, or threatened.
I mean, that's a big range.
That could really mean anything.
Yep.
Well, I felt terrorized because somebody called me... I don't know. It's hard for me. I'm a white, straight woman. I don't know.
But still, like, also, if somebody calls you a name like, oh, you're ugly or whatever,
yeah.
is that grounds to go to jail for 5 years? Like, where does it end?
I mean, Twitter's already censoring my friend who's a tranny every time she calls herself a tranny.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's terrorizing.
Yeah, that's hate speech.
She's been terrorizing the other trannies, you know.
Oh, no, I was saying Twitter is terrorizing her. They're offending her or whatever. What was it? Terrorizing...
Threatening,
molesting.
Was intimidating?
Harassing, yeah. intimidating.
Intimidating,
yep.
okay. Harassing. Mm-hmm.
Says any kind of discrimination against a minority or particular group of people is unacceptable and should be taken seriously. Michigan's new bill, which prosecutes based on feelings, does not take it seriously. Someone's subjective feelings, or even a lie about his or her subjective feelings, could land somebody jail time and ruin a life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I said... Yeah, you can't really pin down what hate speech is, but you also, I mean, that's somebody else's thoughts. You also can't really prove your own thoughts in, you know, in a way
you
that...
You mean as far as whether you were feeling threatened?
Yeah, I was actually feeling threatened by this person, you know?
Yeah. Did the person actually threaten you? Because if so, then you may actually have a case. But if it's just someone saying, I don't like gays, you know, on Twitter or whatever, or wherever these things are coming in, you get some sort of email.
I'm literally shaking.
Something like that. Just get off the internet. And, you know, if you can't handle having people say mean things, I mean, that's just what happens online. And you're never going to be able to stop it because there's always going to be that anonymity. The people who are stupid, I guess, will go ahead and get caught up in laws like this. But the people who have a modicum of intelligence and a lot of these, like, you know, right-wing 4chan types of people are very intelligent young people, right? Like, they know how to use a VPN. They know how to use Tor. They know how to cover their tracks and change, you know, they're not going to use their real name. And they're going to give you a hard time on the internet, and there's not going to be a damn thing you can do about it. You can go file all the reports you want down at City Hall or at the police department or whatever, and they're not going to put... I don't know how much time you expect that the police are going to put into investigating this, but once they run into Tor or some other kind of anonymizing service, they're going to give up the investigation at that point because it's going to go nowhere.
And if you're some kind of a class that the police don't care to help, like libertarian, I don't even think of trying to use this bill for, I mean, a libertarian when
I was about to say, I hope they wouldn't,
someone.
Anyways.
But, you know, if you're some kind of class that the cops don't care about, I just thought of that because the cops right now are actually not taking seriously somebody who literally came to my house, blocked me from entering my front door when I was alone and unarmed, and they're just like, yeah, we can't find him. And I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much.
That.
Well, and again, they have no obligation to. So even though, and this is the kind of service you get from a monopoly where there's only one choice and you don't have any other options. Yeah, you can hire a private investigator, but he can't go and do what the police can do, right? So then you're stuck with them and you're forced to pay for their services. And now it sounds like they're, I mean, this is a really scary story here that you're sharing tonight, Bonnie.
Goes on, it says, hate speech accusations are designed with one outcome in mind, censorship. Hate speech is usually not hateful speech. What often constitutes hate speech is any language that opposes popular narrative. This label is causing damage to our nation. I wish calling, accusing me of being a part of his nation was hate speech.
What was he saying? I'm sorry, I wasn't clear on who's saying
that. The label of hate speech is causing damage to our nation.
So this is someone who's against the law?
Yes.
Okay.
The Washington Examiner person that's been saying this, all this stuff.
And the thing about hate speech is it always changes, right? So like 200 years ago, you know, words had different meanings and it was, you know, politically correct or socially acceptable to say certain things that nowadays it's not. So, I mean, you always get those
like
older...
Eskimo.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, you always get those older folks who, like, maybe they still say the N-word.
My
or, like,
grandmother
certain
said
things.
Colored right up until she died.
Exactly.
And she wasn't racist.
No, that's just, that's how she knew to categorize people and classify people.
Right.
And there are still a lot of elderly people like that. So are you going to throw Mima in jail because she's, like, senile and racist?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, where does this end?
That's the thing. Mine wasn't racist. She just used the wrong word.
Yeah.
Right.
My mom is not racist either. I was going to say she has said Oriental, and I've been like, Mama, you can't say that. That just sounds racist. Yeah, and she's definitely not racist.
But even if somebody was, like, I don't appreciate people that are racist or homophobic, but I do believe they have the right to be. You know, like, we can't tell people what to believe and think.
And putting someone in jail is a way worse crime against a human being than somebody saying...
Like, how is that not assault and molestation?
Yeah.
Kidnapping someone and throwing them in a jail cell.
Yeah, I felt threatened when the cops had me in handcuffs for hours searching through my house. I also felt molested when they, you know, went through all my things.
Well, it's okay when they do it.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
There are countries where this is more common, like Canada. You and I were just talking about this today, Bonnie, because... You know, there's certain people in our chat room who, over at chat.freetalklive.com, one of them in particular lives, at least one of them, I think there's actually a couple of them that live in Canada, and at least one of those people seems like a pretty racist dude, But he's got to keep that to himself.
Oh, right? My God, if anybody speaks with a hateful tongue, it's this 4chan Matrix chat loser.
Yeah, and he's got to keep it real controlled because they can put you in jail in Canada. Does that mean he's not actually racist? No, he's really racist. But, you know, he's not in jail right now. Would putting him in jail, if he were to speak what he's been saying, for instance, publicly in Canada, he may face some sort of criminal charge. Would that make him not racist to face criminal charges for being racist? No, it would actually probably make him hate those people even more than he currently does, whoever it is that he hates. And I'm pretty sure he hates everybody except for his own.
That's how I feel about all forced association laws. I think that it causes more racism.
What's a forced association like?
Like, there's lots of actual laws. I didn't learn about it until I started reading They Fear Unity by Olu Axelman.
Mm-hmm.
There are actually laws where the government doesn't let you make a college, doesn't let you run a college, unless you let a certain amount of black people into this position and a certain amount of Hispanic people into it's not about who did the best job. So a bunch of Asian people who have the best grades and all these extracurricular things and stuff like that have been not being able to attend Harvard because, sorry, we have too many Asians and whites right now.
Don't they call that affirmative action?
Yeah, and I used to think it was just like a cultural thing happening, but it's actually, there are laws for it.
It's required.
No, and you can get like tax write-offs and all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, my point is really just that I think that that kind of thing makes racism more prevalent. Like, people are going to have this little thing to be like, oh, that black person doesn't deserve that job. That's just affirmative action, which may not even be true. They have this thing to say now.
And not even just that. I mean, it is kind of inherently racist to be like, have to give people, like, why do we need to give those people their jobs? Do they think they're lesser? Like, what is the reason?
Because they can't do it on their own merit.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of, I don't know.
I think they call it reverse racism.
And what's interesting about it is if there weren't those laws and if there was actually like a free market and everything, we could have colleges that straight up said, I only allow this one race to attend this college. And that could be a thing. And we could, you know, have a market of which colleges came out with the best students, you know. It's not like if we let the markets be free, only white people would be able to attend college. It's just silly. Like, right now, there are colleges, I don't know really why this is legal, but right now there are even colleges where you have to be a Mormon to get in.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you have to be a Mormon to go to BYU.
Okay.
Just so
weird. Brigham Young University?
Yeah, in Utah.
Well, it must be a private college.
They're not accepting government money?
I'm guessing that they don't accept government money, because then all the rules, you know, government doesn't just hand out money, they have strings attached. So all those affirmative action rules would absolutely come into play.
I forget why I brought up affirmative action. I guess mainly just to say, I think that the law is trying to make racism disappear, or if that's what they really are trying to do. That's what they say they're trying to do. If all those disappeared, I think there would actually be less racism.
Well, and that's the thing. And even with the bill we're talking about here, it's backfiring, or it's going to backfire. The more it's forced by the state, oh, no, you can't use any hateful words. Like, you have to do all of these things to be anti-racist. And all of these things are inherently racist or reverse racism, whatever it's called. It just is making things worse.
It says, in a May exclusive with Fox News, Alex Morey of the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression said that many college students are adopting a victim mentality and thus approve of censorship to combat their perceived persecutors.
You're a victim, and you're a victim, and you're a victim. And this is a mentality that is widespread these days. Everybody wants to talk about a lot of people want to talk about how they were victimized, and it's so damaging to them, and then they're just going to have to live with this for their whole lives. And it's like, this whole mentality is just so weak, and it's sad. I mean, look, if you've been victimized, and I have in my life, you move on. You learn the lesson from it, and you hopefully don't put yourself in that circumstance ever again.
It says more about the person victimizing you than it does about you, and then you move on.
Yeah, unless you just want to hold a grudge for your entire life and constantly let, you know, this thing dominate your thoughts at all times, and that's a really, it's just a sad place to be living and to be coming from, but so many people, they make it into their identity.
People of all races, people of all walks of life are doing this nowadays because it's just popular.
Yeah, and I think it's a little bit worse with the younger generation, like kids that are in like high school, college now, and I think they're almost teaching it in schools with this like anti-bullying. It's the same thing as this bill, you know, like it's this anti-bullying movement, which it sounds good because obviously like bullying isn't, I don't think bullying is good,
right? Mm-hmm.
But I think the measures and the steps they're taking to try to combat bullying is just making kids really soft, mm-hmm. and it's creating these victim types where it's not just like, oh, they had a big event and I'm going to be victimized by that event for the rest of my life. They're victimized by everything. They're victimized by a Starbucks cup and,
yep.
you know, they're victimized by someone calling them dumb or somebody being mean on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is, they're victimized by everything.
Yeah, but it's gotten to the point where a lot of people think that it's okay for them to be, you know, hurtful towards other people because they're victimized. Like, a good friend of mine who is, I think, mixed black and white, if not just black. See, I don't even care. I don't even know. But he posted on Twitter one day saying, a white person and a black person simply can't date the way that two black people can date and actually love each other because the white person will just never know what the black person has been through.
Nah, I just can't agree with that.
This is your friend who said this?
Yeah, on Twitter. Like, this person I know in real life in San Antonio. And it was honestly, I felt like saying something that I didn't feel enough like saying. It's just like, whatever. I felt like saying, all right, please go tell my black grandpa to break up with my grandma because clearly she hasn't gotten the memo that she can't actually love him, you know?
Mm.
It's just ridiculous. It's like this anti-racism, you know, mentality that's out there has actually started causing actual racism.
Like, I mean, yeah, because that is racist.
That is an actual racist.
I mean, that sounds racist to me.
I think so, too. I mean, who has been anti-mixed races since, like, the 1960s?
Racist.
Yeah, well, yeah. Only racist. But I'm just saying, like, it hasn't been that common. Everybody says that it was, like, a lot better in, like, the 90s. My dad said that it wasn't racist in the 80s. I mean, like, mainstream, there wasn't a lot of racism in the 80s.
I mean, there could have been, but I mean, it's hard to tell if you're not part of the population that's getting the brunt of the racism. You know what I mean? Like, it's probably hard for a lot of white people to understand something like that. I'm sure, like, black people in the South maybe were experiencing more racism.
Yeah, but more back then to now, I don't really know. I think things have gone so crazy recently that people will just openly say racist things on Twitter.
Not sure.
Well, you can call in at 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The Federal Reserve says that all 23 major American banks passed a stress test, surviving a severe recession scenario. Despite a projected loss of nearly $550 billion, the banks maintained minimum capital levels and continued lending to consumers and businesses. President Biden says his economic policies are focused on inclusive economic growth, citing the highest post-pandemic economic growth among nations.
Bidenomics is about building an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down.
Speaking in Chicago today, he criticized previous administration's tax cuts benefiting corporations and the wealthy. The remnants of the Titan submersible have made their way to Canada. A ship carrying pieces of the wreckage retrieved from the ocean floor, where the vessel suffered a catastrophic implosion, returned to port this morning. A crane was seen unloading the debris, including the nose of the Titan. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That you control. You can call in anytime at 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Nikki.
It's Ian.
And I'm just going to go right to the phones. We have Ricky from the Commonwealth. Are you there, Ricky?
I would be there, Miss Bonnie. Thank you. And good evening, Brother Ian and Sister Nikki.
Hey, Ricky.
Good evening.
What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I wanted to chime in on this whole anti-racism discussion. I will say that myself, I've been saying for 25 years about getting rid of affirmative action. I mean, I've seen the problems with that, and I'm not even going to go into it. You guys probably already have been and probably will more why it's a bad thing. But here's what's on my mind. You know, I mean, I say about being the Confederate Democrat, and one thing I look at is the Confederate monuments. And what's interesting about that is you'll get one of these people that are a so-called leader, and they have whatever their agenda is, and they get some followers, but then you get the government say, yes, yes, we're all for it, and they're going to tear them down. The government
don't. You're talking about taking down Confederate monuments.
Right. Now, their reason is obvious. Well, they want to get any trace of the CSA gone because they don't want people to even think about that this even existed.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what's also interesting? I look at, you know, Jefferson Davis, one of the more recent ones to be torn down, was his monument in New Orleans. Now, he was president of CSA, and he died in New Orleans. And the funny thing is, to this day, descendants of slaves put flowers on his grave. And people scratch their heads at this. And they shouldn't. You know, and this is the problem of all of this stuff.
Why? Why shouldn't they, you're saying they shouldn't scratch their heads at this. Why shouldn't they?
They do scratch their heads. Not everybody. Now, I know plenty of blacks, and I've met plenty that understand the truth, not only about the Civil War, but all of this stuff. But there's a lot of people who don't, too.
Which is what? What's the truth about Jefferson Davis as to why descendants of slaves would put flowers on his grave?
Well, I mean, the reason why is he was not a racist. I mean, but
wasn't he like the president of the Confederacy or something?
Absolutely, he was. Uh-huh. And plus, you know, he was a good master. And you know, there's a woman. In fact, there's a video on YouTube where she's talking about it, putting flowers on his grave, and she's a descendant. And her reason was he gave people at the time, her descendants, opportunity that they never had. Now, he was a good master. I mean, I'm not saying all masters were. I mean, there were people that weren't. You're going to have that in everything, even now, you know?
I think the only good master would be somebody who realizes, I don't have the authority to control anyone else's life and let them go.
I mean, as long as it's consensual, I guess, but
slavery was by definition not consensual, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, what did you say, Ricky?
Well, if they wouldn't have worked on a farm, what would they have done? At that time, there wasn't a whole lot to do.
They could have worked on their own damn farm for their own purposes.
Some did, Ian. A good example.
Not a slave.
Well, wait a minute. In the 1600s, get this one. In the 1600s, this was still under British rule. There was a man, and he came over. He was a black immigrant. His thing was tobacco. He was a slave. Now, he had a contract. He fulfilled his contract. He had a second one go, and now his master let him out of that contract and said, be on your own. He became a master himself, and he had slaves. Now, the interesting thing about this is one of his slaves ran away, oddly enough, a white man. And he said to them, hey, I want my property back. Well, you know what they said? The British guy said, hey, we're not going to do that. This is free. This guy's free. That's it, period. Well, the guy ran away again, you know, and he said, okay, I want my property. He said, no, this man's free, you know, period. Now, the third time, he goes into one of the British judges, and it's odd because this is about in 1650. He pulls out of his pocket a piece of paper. He says, I got this one for life. And they look at it puzzled. And they confer with another person in the officer, I guess you do. He was the first man to own someone for life. And oddly enough, towards the end of his life, he got rid of all the slaves, except for that one man. And that's documented. I can't remember his name, but
what's the point of telling this story?
The thing about it is, like, there's a lot of these things that can't even actually be corroborated. Like, are these, like, letters?
You can look it up. It's on the internet, sweetheart.
What's the point of the story, though? I don't even remember what you were trying to say.
My point is, you know, the when it comes to history, the focus of the truth has been shifted and shrouded with an agenda, and the agenda is racism. A lot of it doesn't have to do with the truth. I mean, it's shocking that the first man that owned another man in history in this country was a black man. Maybe that surprises people, and that can be corroborated. I've read the story.
I mean, it's really just, trivia.
Yeah,
ultimately.
And the thing about it is, it's not like I would be like, oh, slavery is suddenly not bad because a black person did it too. I would just say they're both bad.
My point of the whole thing is the tearing down of the monuments is not even about race. The government is just saying, oh, this is great. Because they want to erase all traces of the CSA. I want to know how they're going to get rid of Stone Mountain. That's the one I want to know.
I mean, I'm sure you're correct. They do want people to have no recollection that anyone ever stood up against, you know, the federal government.
Yep. Secession is an important part of it. Well, thank you, Ricky, for the call.
I think they should tear them all down. I just want to go on the record. I think that all the war monuments should be taken down.
Just think if it's part of your private property, keep it up. And if it's
but almost
not,
all of them are on government parks and things like that.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with remembering history. I don't think it has to be in a statue form. I don't really know. That's kind of an antiquated thing. It's like we don't really make statues about like stuff that happens today. There's not a statue of the time that the free Keeniacs did Robin
Hood. We can make one.
Yeah.
Well, usually you have to, most of the time you wait until the person dies before you make a statue of them. So usually you don't see statues made during the lifetime of the individual, but I would love to see that war monument come down in Central Square.
Oh, yes, I would love to knock it down myself.
Fantastic. Now,
look, my mom hates it so much.
If you want to take it onto your own private property, I think that's fine, and I think that should apply to the Confederate statues as well. Like, okay, look, you know, here, we'll open this up to a bidding war. Anybody who wants to place a bid on this war monument statue and take it onto your own church grounds or your own private property
or, take it in,
or wherever, melt it down,
destroy it
your own self. Sure. So just put it up to the highest bidder. The revenue can go to charity or tax revenues or something like that, and then you won't have to have the controversy of whether that statue should be there or not.
Yeah, like the idea we can't write things down and we have to keep this statue up so the posterity will remember is kind of crazy. Well, moving on to the phones. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What's your name?
I wasn't expecting to get on the call, so I was hitting my bong. My name's Bobby. I'm from Florida.
Okay, hi, Bobby from Florida. What's your topic tonight?
Just 2 hours ago, Kentucky, a federal judge, temporarily blocked the gender-affirming care for transgender youth. So I guess the ACLU in Kentucky filed a lawsuit, and then the governor, their state house and everything, they voted to ban all youth, for transgender-affirming care, hormones and, I guess, operations. Yes, for youth. And then just now, a couple hours ago, a federal judge temporarily blocked that bill from them being able to do that. And I just think aside from the gender care and all that stuff, I think a federal judge jumping in on state issues like that isn't right,
I don't believe in the federal government, so I guess I could agree with that, but I did get a little lost there. Sorry. Did you say that the bill was going to, what was the bill going to do?
Okay, well, it would block gender-affirming care for trans youth.
So under 18?
Seven transgender minors and their parents filed motions. So, yes, under 18.
When they say it would block that, does that mean that it would block some sort of state funding for it, or that it would prohibit all privately paid for gender-affirming care?
It would prohibit everything under 18.
I see.
Like sex changes and
but gender affirming care goes beyond that. Gender affirming care could be using a different name or dressing differently.
Everybody just jumps to, it must mean people chopping their genitals off, when it can actually just be like therapy.
Yeah, right? And most people aren't doing that, especially under 18. I mean, doing the full bottom surgery is actually quite rare. Mm-hmm. Most trans people don't even have any desire to do that. And I know some people will do like other sort of plastic surgery things. But I think typically that sort of thing happens in adulthood. And then some people will argue for and against the hormones and the hormone blockers in teenagers. I'm not a huge fan of that. But I do think, like, it should be up to the individual and their parents. Like, it just doesn't have anything to do with me, so I don't think there should be legislation for it or against it. I just think people should be able to kind of do whatever they want to do as long as they're not harming anyone else.
Do we need legislation keeping people from getting tattoos underage if their parents agree? Because right now you can get a tattoo
if
they're
underage. Legislation.
Well, no, I mean, right now there's...
Can you actually get a tattoo with parental consent?
Yeah. There's plenty of people that have gotten tattoos
not
with
here.
Parental consent.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think in a lot of places
I'm surprised
illegal.
That's illegal in more places. It would be surprised if it's legal in more places than not, because in Utah it's legal. So that'd be kind of weird. I mean, Utah's pretty conservative.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby, you bring up, it's an interesting issue because, quote-unquote, states' rights, which, of course, states don't have rights, just to be clear, only individuals have rights. But the concept of states' rights is that, you know, the different states should be able to do. If you're going to have governments, then you should have differing options between them. So the people who are like the conservative types can have their little conservative fiefdom, and the liberal types can have their liberal paradise or whatever, and let them have these oppressive rules. And the federal government is standing in the way of that. On the other hand, it does seem like the federal judges are making the correct choice in these cases where they are allowing for people to make their own choices against these laws that are prohibiting people from making their own choices as their own families. And, of course, the conservatives, it just once again shows that neither of these sides, the conservative or the quote-unquote progressive sides, neither of them, despite claiming at various different times to, you know, my body, my choice, neither of them actually believe that, right? Because under the COVID thing, all of a sudden the conservatives seem to understand my body, my choice. Oh, yeah, you shouldn't be able to force somebody to take a vaccine, said the conservatives, while the liberals were saying, yes, we should be able to force people to take a vaccine. But on the other hand, the liberals, of course, say, no, I should be able to have an abortion, you know, if I want to. And the conservatives want to, you know, force people to stop having abortions. And now the conservatives want to force people from not having this, quote, the so-called gender-affirming care. So they don't believe for a moment in bodily autonomy or anything like that. Of course, we've seen
neither
that with Body Freedom Village.
Yeah,
when
some so-called libertarians don't even believe in that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, people just cannot keep their hands off other people's bodies and other people's families and other people's business. And this is why, you know, as far as, unfortunately, this is why we're always going to have a state. Because as long as there are people out there who think that it's okay to try to use violence to control people, because remember, that's what backs every state program. So if, you know, if you are in Kentucky and this law weren't blocked by the federal government and then you offered so-called gender-affirming care, men with guns could come along and throw you in a jail cell. And that is the world that conservatives and liberals both want. And as long as people can't just leave people be and leave them alone to make perhaps the wrong decision, okay, because that is maybe what we're talking about in a lot of these cases, maybe decisions that these teenagers will regret someday. But if you can't just leave people to make their own choices and live with those consequences, then you are an arch statist, and we're never going to get to liberty, because people have to be able to leave people alone. That's like the key aspect of libertarianism, is to be willing to allow people to make poor choices.
I think that more people will make the right choice for themselves if everyone is free to make choices. And then also free to speak freely about what happened. Like, if you go through this gender-affirming care, then you regret it. You should be allowed to speak freely about it and inform the next person who's a 16-year-old and wondering if they want to transition. Or, you know, the opposite. Like, tell somebody, I went through this at 16. It was the thing that helped me the most. And, you know, I just think that keeping people from being able to do things is more likely to get stuff done in dark corners and black markets and
People go on the dark web to order whatever
less information
chemicals
will be out there, mm-hmm, for them to make a correct choice. People learn from each other's pasts. All right, well, we have Skeeter from
good call, Bobby. Thank you.
We have Skeeter from California on the line. Skeeter, what's on your mind?
Hey guys, are you talking about slavery? I just wanted to ask you a question. You guys are talking about, you know, the Africans and, you know, modern slavery in the Western nations. Now, from a utilitarian and consequentialist perspective, one can make a rational case that their generations have benefited from us enslaving them. How do you analyze this using the national, you know, the non-aggression principle?
How are you going to rationalize that?
Yeah.
I mean, so speaking of the non-aggression principle, I mean, slavery is completely against the non-aggression principle, because slavery inherently is committing aggression against someone. You know, and I guess if it was consensual, then it wouldn't be slavery.
Right.
I'm pretty sure this caller doesn't care about non-aggression because he's described himself as a utilitarian.
Yeah,
so
well,
he believes
that's
in,
what, so what does that mean?
A utilitarian is... go ahead.
Utilitarian means I do not have principles, which is weird because he's also called himself an anarchist before, but utilitarian literally cannot have a utilitarian literally cannot have principles. They believe that whatever is the thing that they're going to do that would have the optimal outcome, according to whom, I don't know, maybe just
according to the utilitarian.
Yeah, according to themselves, is the right thing to do. Like,
so it's personal gain?
Personal gain or the public good, quote
whatever
unquote.
He sees as the best option, okay. Essentially, is what he will support.
And I think that the thing about it, Skeeter, is I don't think I can answer your question because I don't see any proof of what you're claiming. You're claiming a thing, and I don't...
Well, he hasn't had a chance to make the argument. He's trying to claim that slavery helped blacks. That's basically what he just said.
And that's what I'm asking him to give me some examples of because I can't really answer your question as stated.
So you wouldn't agree that some of these generations that are living in the United States, they are better off than if they were left in Africa?
So wait, you're just saying that slavery helped black people. You got to turn him down every time we talk because there's weird noise coming from his line. So basically you're saying that slavery only helped black people because it got them a ticket to the United States where their subsequent generations are doing better than they would have if they were staying in Africa is what you're saying?
Yeah, some of these generations, some died off and stuff like that.
Well, they could have gotten a ticket here without slavery, though, right?
Yeah, and also, like, that's a question that I can't answer because that doesn't pertain, like, that I am not living that experience, so that would be a better question for someone who, like, that's part of their ancestry and part of their, family history.
Yeah, like, I definitely believe that if no one went into Africa and enslaved people, made them farm things like England was doing, and grabbed people from their homes and brought them to the United States and made them slaves. If those people were just left alone, I think that they would be a lot better off. And that's just my guess because we don't live in that reality. But, I mean, the Moors were a pretty civilized civilization. They had boats and came over to the United States. And they were black. They were from Africa. I think it's ridiculous that you just think, like, if no one ever messed with Africa, Africans would just be over there, poor. Their economy has been incredibly messed with for, over a century.
Well, plus, there's nothing that would have prohibited the very same black people who came here under slavery from chartering a boat. Hearing that, hey, it's more free in the United States than it is over here. And now we've got the British oppressing us in various different African countries and saying, hey, why don't we just go ahead and take a trip to America? We heard they had a revolution recently and there's all this freedom over there. Of course, at the time, there was no such thing as a passport. There was no such thing as, having to ask permission to go somewhere. So they could have just rolled up on the West, the East Coast and had various different black towns or whatever. And then they would have been slaves. And then they would have been way better off because they would have been able to start from a position of freedom rather than starting for, a generation or two in slavery.
And not only were they a generation or two in slavery, but after that there was such bad race relations in the United States because white people had lived with a situation where black people were subhuman to them.
Mm-hmm.
That they got their banks that they started, black people started banks, and they got burned down and things like that. There was, like, bad race relations that made it to where things just weren't actually, harmonious. I think it's ridiculous.
It was a ridiculous call. Absolutely.
I hung up on him also because there was such crazy noises in the background. Well, we were talking about Michigan for a different reason, but Michigan's all kinds of crazy right now. If you live there, you should probably get out.
Well, I have a related story to what Bobby was calling in about, where a federal judge, I've been holding on to this one for a few weeks here, a federal judge also ruled the Tennessee restrictions on drag shows unconstitutional. So kind of in the same vein of these conservative states cracking down by passing these new restrictions against people who are trans, or in this case, people who are doing drag shows. And the Tennessee law was the first one that had gone into place. I believe Florida attempted to emulate this law, so I think that one also was challenged in federal court recently. And the Florida law also, I believe, was similarly frozen. So these things are not passing federal muster. And according to TheHill.com, a federal judge ruled that the Tennessee law banning drag shows in public or in places where children could view them is unconstitutional, finding that it violates freedom of speech protections, according to U.S. District Judge Thomas Parker in his ruling on the law, calling it both unconstitutionally vague and substantially overbroad. The law says, and we talked about this before it went into effect, it says a quote-unquote adult cabaret performance is unlawful if it happens on public property or in a location where the performance, quote, could be viewed by a person who is not an adult. It defines such a performance as one that is harmful to minors and includes topless dancers, exotic dancers, strippers, and male or female impersonators. So that's where the drag show, because obviously drag isn't necessarily topless. Most cases they're definitely not. They're just, you know, men dressing as women and usually in very fancy clothes.
And what's weird is it says men, male or female impersonators, but that's not inherently sexual.
No, it's not.
Or inappropriate. And also, who is deciding what is or isn't
that's
inappropriate for a child to witness?
Because I guess
everyone,
yeah, the cops. The cops will show up and they're, you
know,
so
it's up for their discretion. And we know they don't have very good discretion or morals or principles.
Or any responsibility for making the wrong choice.
Yeah.
If cops get called to a drag show where somebody said, this is inappropriate for children, and the cops walk in, and it's just your typical drag show, which is just people cross-dressing and singing and dancing on a stage, and some cop just believes that that is inappropriate for children, then somebody's going to get arrested and then prosecuted. So,
Does it have the word that they use there? It starts with a P. I had never heard it before, and it just means, like, sexual.
Prurient.
Prurient.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I believe that is in the law, but I don't have the actual text here.
So that is the word that they use in the law. It's any of those types of performances that are done in a prurient way. So
right, which is kind of like pandering to the lowest common denominator in sex, essentially.
Hmm. Yeah, so you're expecting a cop to know what that word means, and then get to decide what is and isn't that. And it's just crazy.
Well, that looked sexual to me, so I arrested that man.
Yep. Any Tennessee cop could be just as dumb as all the conservatives on Twitter that are mad about the Body Freedom Village at Porkfest. Coming up, we actually have more news about Porkfest, and that's what I titled the episode about. Jeremy Kaufman freaked out at a guy who was ranting about, you know, he's an anti-vaccine man, and he said the vaccine killed his daughter. And we're going to have more of that coming up. Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.